Listening Library presents Suitors and Sabotage by Cindy Anstey. Read for you by Fiona Hardingham. For my cheering committee, aka my family. Chapter 1, in which Miss Imogen Chively prays for a sudden rainstorm or a stampede of goats. Gracebridge Manor, Fotheringham, Kent, early July, 1817.
Jasper!
Imogen Chively shouted as she jumped to her feet, flinging her sketch into the grass.
Don't move! Stay! Stay exactly where you are!
Grabbing her skirts ankle height with one hand and desperately waving the other, she raced across the courtyard of the old castle.
Emily, help!
She shouted over her shoulder without a backward glance. She couldn't look away. Imogen's eyes were glued to those of Jasper. If she looked away, he might try to leap off the crumbling wall. And he couldn't, shouldn't. It was too high. There was no doubt of an injury, a broken leg, or worse yet, a snapped neck or a blow to the head.
Stay,
she said again, but in a softer, crooning tone, almost a prayer. Having reached the wall, Imogen found Jasper 2 feet above her reach, even on tip-tip-toes. He stared down at her, pleased with all the attention, tail wagging, tongue lolling.
Oh, Jasper!
Emily Beeswanger said behind her.
You silly dog! What have you done now?
Emily, Imogen's fast friend for all their 18 years, was well versed in Jasper's antics. The St. John's water dog continued to wag.
Can you keep him from jumping, Emily? Yes, hold your hands up like a barrier, exactly. I will go around behind him.
You can't climb the wall, Imogen. It's too fragile. It will fall down, taking you with it.
Yes, I know, but I need to get higher. I have to encourage him to back up. He doesn't have room to turn, she said, looking up at the narrow ledge of the ruins.
Frowning, she glanced across the courtyard to where they had lain a coverlet on the grass beside the moat. Or, she said, her eyes settling on the basket atop the blanket,
I have a better idea. I know what always encourages obedience.
Food, Emily said knowingly. Indeed.
Imogen turned and sauntered back across the cobblestone. She would have preferred to run, but doing so would have fueled Jasper's excitable nature and encouraged him to leap over Emily's outstretched arms to join her. She had just reached into the basket when a nearby voice startled her. Spinning around, Imogen locked eyes with a young gentleman standing on the arch of the moat bridge. Imogen gasped in dismay. Ernest Steeple? Surely not. Her suitor was not due until the next day.
Can I help?
He asked again, when Imogen did not answer. Gulping, Imogen tried to calm her panicked thoughts. She could feel the burn of embarrassment flaring up her cheeks as soon as she realized that the stranger was not Ernest, but Benjamin Steeple, her suitor's younger brother. Suddenly the air was filled with a cacophony of barking, whining, and yipping. Imogen turned to see Jasper's body, undulating in serpentine waves as his excitement grew to a fevered pitch. He was staring at the new arrival.
No!
Imogen shouted as the dog crouched.
Stay!
Even as she called out, Mr. Steeple moved. In a flash, he was across the courtyard and almost to the wall when Jasper launched himself into the air. Emily jumped up to catch him, but Jasper sailed over her head with ease. Imogen screamed as time slowed to a crawl. Jasper seemed to fall forever, but in those seconds, Mr. Steeple must have known he would not reach the dog. He flung himself under the dog's path in a spectacular sprawl, sliding across the ground on his back. The dog landed with a heavy thump on the poor gentleman's gut, eliciting a sharp gasp as they tumbled together. The tangled mess of dog and man finally came to a rest at the base of the wall. Naturally, Jasper was the first on his feet, bouncing with excitement, showing no injury or awareness of his peril. The dog licked Mr. Steeple's face with abandon. The poor gentleman tried to fend off the affection to no avail. He finally succumbed to the wash and laughed as he struggled to his feet. Imogen wanted to ask if he was hurt, but her tongue would not cooperate.
Are you all right?
Emily asked, in an easy manner that Imogen wished she could emulate.
Oh, yes, indeed. Just a little dirt here and there, he said as he swiped pointlessly at the ingrained dirt on the elbows of his well-cut coat. Nothing that can't be fixed.
That was quite impressive. I'm certain Jasper would have done himself an injury had you not caught him.
Mr. Steeple laughed again.
I'm not certain I would call that a catch.
It was impressive, nonetheless.
Emily smiled up at him as he smiled down. It was a charming tableau. Emily, with her pretty round face framed by cascades of brown curls peeking out from her bonnet, staring up at the handsome visage of Benjamin Steeple, with the old castle ruins behind them. The smell of Flora wafted through the air while cattle lowed in the nearby fields. Yes, indeed, a lovely tableau. Imogen huffed a sigh. This was dreadful. Mr. Benjamin's presence had only one possible meaning. Disaster was about to befall them. Mr. Ernest Steeple had arrived early. There would be no meandering through the estate, sketching and chatting with Emily about their London season. No relaxing at the old castle, chasing butterflies or picking wildflowers today. Guests were about to descend upon Gracebridge Manor en masse. Imogen sighed again. It was a long, suffering sigh, not that of eager anticipation. Benjamin Steeple bent to accept Jasper's continued attention. It was the respite Imogen needed, and it gave her time to take a few deep breaths, release the tension in her shoulders, and lift her cheeks into the semblance of a smile. As the mutual enthusiasm continued for some minutes, Imogen had an opportunity to observe Mr. Benjamin without reserve. They had met once before, at a soiree in Mayfair, though her glance of Ernest's younger brother had been for a short duration, and she had spent the entire length of the conversation staring at his shoes, she had seen the likeness immediately. There was no doubting that Ernest and Benjamin were brothers, and being so close in age, at 20 and 19, it would be difficult for anyone without the knowledge to say who was the elder. Similar in build, the Steeple boys were tall, loose-limbed, and broad-shouldered. They both had dark brown hair, but Ernest wore his longer, brushed back from a widow's peak. Ernest's face was slightly broader. Benjamin's chin was slightly sharper, and while Ernest had an open smile, Benjamin's smile was wider, getting wider, and wider, as Imogen continued to examine his face without speaking. Oh, Lud, she was staring. Imogen gulped in discomfort and prayed for some sort of distraction. Anything, a sudden rainstorm, a stampede of goats, or a fast friend coming to the rescue.
It is a pleasure to see you again, Mr. Steeple, and a lovely surprise.
Imogen's eyes grew wide. Horror of horrors. Was Emily going to tell him that they had not been expected until the next day? While true, it might cause him embarrassment. Imogen cringed with the thought of mortifying poor Mr. Benjamin. What should she say? How could she prevent this travesty? However, instead of flushing and looking uncomfortable, Benjamin Steeple executed a well-practiced bow.
Yes, we are a day early, aren't we? Ernest would not be stopped. He could think of nothing else but to see this part of the country.
He did not turn to look at Imogen, but his eyes flicked in her direction and then quickly back to Emily.
I apologize for the interruption. I did not know that you were here.
That is disappointing, Mr. Steeple. I thought it was our company that brought you to the ruin, that you sought us out.
Had I known, had Ernest known, we would have been here an hour ago, but alas, it was indeed the call of these old stones that sent me down the hill.
He gestured toward Gracebridge, the large sandstone manor visible behind Imogen, and then turned, making a show of looking at the ruins tower and south wing, where the sun glinted off the many panes of the mullioned windows. It was the only part of the castle still intact. The adjacent great hall and the floor that had been over it were gone. Three arched doorways, and above them six glassless windows, led into the roofless shell, We're all but the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?